God. Amen. We had Charlie's. I told Kyle, I said, "Don't spill the beans." And he said, "He forgot what the guy said." They had these guys that were dressing them suits I was telling you about. They were in between the kids coming up. They would tell some funny things like that. And I said, "Oh, that's pretty good." The Grinch and the Who. Yeah, that was good. I said, "I'll use that when I get to church." Hold on a minute. Got my sweater on. Got my glasses tied up. Well, you can kill two birds with one stone, brother. I got my glasses out and got a little itching in on the way. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, 'Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, 'Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth his son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.' And then said Mary unto the angel, 'How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?' And the angel answered and said unto her, 'The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her." The title of the message today is Preparing for a Birth. Preparing for a birth. And there's a lot of things that we do to prepare for one, but probably don't get everything done that we wish we would. But we see Jesus born, the birth of Jesus, a very familiar text for us. We know that from studying that when Jesus was born, it was a dark time in the world's history. The Old Testament canon closed. There was a long period where the prophets didn't have anything to say, nothing from God. If in world history, that was what we call the Dark Ages, appropriately so. The absence of light is darkness, and the absence of God's word would certainly make it dark. Spiritually, it was dark politically as well, particularly for the Jews. They had been dispersed and among the nations, and a few of them had gathered back together, but they weren't in control of things. Herod was appointed to be the king of by Rome. He had appointed him to be king of the Jews, and he was on the throne there. And so it was just a dark time, but during that time that God had his remnant, and he always does. I kind of thought about this as we went along, and probably have said this every year. I mean, we could look in the world politically and spiritually. We're living in a dark time, even though we do have the Word of God, and Jesus has been born and has come and lived and died and resurrected and crucified and resurrected, and we're still looking at a dark time. But God, I believe God's always had his remnant, and I believe God has his faithful people today and they've remained faithful through things. We were talking about this last week, I think at some point in time, and you know, a Wednesday night we talked about it, and Paul had brought up the fact that he read a report where it said that people are just falling away. Church attendance is down all over the world, and particularly all over America, you know, and it's, but the Bible tells us that in the last days there'll be a falling away. There'll be a falling away of people from the church, and that's the age that we live in. And but listen, we think about this remnant that God had, and in those days they were still praying. They were still worshiping God as the way they could. They were the way they were allowed to. They were worshiping God. They believed his word, and they remained faithful to him, and they knew what the Old Testament scriptures said about the promised Messiah. And for that reason, that they, in the midst of it all, they had hope. In the midst of it all, see, we're living in a tumultuous time in the world. If we have a tendency to kind of brush everything off and put it in the back, but then on the other hand, if you focused on all the negative things in the world, you'd have to go to a psychiatrist. You'd probably be so depressed if we think about, you know, Ukraine, Russia, what's going on in Israel, Palestine, what's taking place there. When we look around nationally, what's going on. You know, there's a lot of things that we could be negative about. But there's always hope, and God's people should always have that. But now they had a hope. Now they didn't know when. They knew there would be a Messiah come, but they didn't know when. They didn't know how. They were always looking for that. And then it says that the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary. This angel appeared, and boy, you know, and she had some things to say, or he had, the angel had some things to say to her. We think about Mary, man, here was Mary. She was just a poor girl. She was a spouse to a man named Joseph. They were engaged. The engagement was different in those days. It was a very binding thing. When you got engaged, it was binding. As a matter of fact, you couldn't break off an engagement without going through a divorce. As another thing, people would refer to engaged couples as husband and wife already. Even though they hadn't got to the wedding, they would already start to do that. So you couldn't break the engagement off just to simply say, well, we're not going to do it. You had to go through a divorce. And we see Joseph. Here's another. He's a carpenter by trade. He was in Nazareth, a poor town, a despised town. Actually, the Jewish people didn't think too much of it. And so there he was. And they were both poor people. And then the Bible says, but an angel appeared. The angel Gabriel, as a matter of fact. We don't know the names of a lot of the angels, but we know a few. Archangels they were. They were top dog angels. And Gabriel appeared. And it tells us that, you know, during that dark time, that even says something to us. That during that dark time, and that dark time politically, and that dark time nationally, and a dark time spiritually, that God was still in charge. Huh? That God was still on the throne. This wasn't just a happenstance appearance. This was something that God had planned from the foundation of the world, that this was going to take place. So even though there might have been people that had given up hope, and there had been people that just saw things as hopeless, there were some people that were holding on to hope no matter how thin the thread was. It looked bleak. And I thought about, Sherry and I were talking about it. I've shared it with you before. And I thought about different times in world history that looked so bleak that people probably thought, man, the Lord has got to be coming. Think about World War II, a little bit before my time. But think about World War II. When the whole world was at war, and then the Jews, the Holocaust, the Jews, God's people were being slaughtered by the millions, burning their bodies in furnaces. Think what the Christians that knew the Word of God thought. Man, this has got to be. This has got to be it. But it wasn't it yet. It wasn't it. There was still hope. There was still some hope. But listen, we're in the last days now for sure. Listen, the church wasn't as apostate then as it is now. Nowhere near it. Nowhere near close. See, there's other things that have taken place. But think about that. But God was in control then, and God's still in control, and he was in control in Joseph and Mary's day, and he's in control in the day that you and I are living in. And his timing's always a perfect thing. It was always a perfect thing. I heard this one time, I've said it before, there was such a small light shines the brightest in a very dark place. And so God wanted this light. He wanted that was the impact that he wanted to have. At the end of this darkness, during this darkness, this light, this hope, this word of the Messiah had spread. Whether people believed it or not, there was a people that did, and this word spread. And so, God's in control. Now listen, Satan had tried everything he could from the prophecy of a Messiah all the way back from the time that God told Adam and Eve and told Eve that through her seed, their seed, there would be one born that was going to bruise her. It would bruise their heel, or God's heel, Jesus' heel, but he was going to crush the head of Satan. There was a prophecy there about that. From that time, Satan did everything he could to keep the birth of Jesus. Man, he tried to get Abraham. We were talking about this in Sunday school hour. Abraham, God's the promise and the covenant that God had with Abraham, and the Jews came through that covenant, the promised people. That he did everything he could to get those people wiped out, eliminated, exterminated, discouraged. Tried to get Abraham off. Tried to get rid of him. Tried to exterminate the Jews. Tried to have after Jesus was born. A couple of years later, probably between 1 and 2 years old, probably 2 years old, the wise men, they weren't actually in the birth story, even though we got them mixed up in there most of the time. They weren't there. It was a couple years later. They saw his star. They came to see. Herod found out about it. And he said, wow, let me tell me where that child's going to be born, where that child is or where he was born. I want to go worship him myself. No, he didn't want to come worship him. He wanted to kill him. He didn't want anybody being on the throne. Another message for us right there. That's what's wrong with the world. World today, the world that doesn't accept Jesus, what's their problem? They don't want to have, their problem is they don't want to have anybody on the throne of their life. And that's why they don't accept Jesus. And Herod had a throne, and he was looking at a physical throne thing, which there will be in the millennial reign, but he didn't want anybody to take it. So he had a bunch of children, all the children under 2 years and down, I think, 2 or 3 years down, were killed, slaughtered. Just in that area around Bethlehem, so he could try to get rid of Jesus. Satan tried everything. Then he tried to get Jesus to bypass the cross. He said, worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. He tried everything. He pulled out all the stops. Then he tried to pass off lies about the resurrection. After that took place, that he really didn't resurrect. He tried to get people to believe that. And now here we are today. Guess what? Satan still hasn't quit working. He does everything to get you distracted. He does everything to get you distracted off of Christ. We've got everything under the sun at Christmas time. We've got the busyness. Sherry had a little thing on her phone she put on yesterday, I think it was, and it was the guy talking. It was more like talking about more than preaching, I think. But he was talking about two things that got, especially America, distracted. I've used them before, but one of them is money. We're not suffering as a nation like some places do. Really have to depend on God. You know, there's people that got to depend on God for the next bean that they're going to eat. Most of us don't have that. But the second thing, and this is what I see today, it's busyness. Busyness, man, what a tool, what a weapon that Satan has got people so busy. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's everywhere. It's all in Christianity. In our church, in churches everywhere, I could say this everywhere. We got people, man, I can count most any Sunday 25 people that are out. The next Sunday, them will be back in the other 20, another 25. Going, what's going? Man, preacher, I had to go here. I had to do this. I got to do that, man. We're running. And people are so wore out. Families wore out. They're so wore out that they got to get done running long enough to take a nap so they can wake up and go back running again. When they get going, they get out the door. This is it. Busy, busy, busy. So here, Satan, say it's just another thing of Satan's to try to get your mind occupied and so that people won't be saved today. And so, but listen, God's plan is progress in the world's history and the world events, and it's still moving in a forward thing. So I got 3 points I want to lay on you this morning. I hope it'll help you as we kind of look at how they apply to you and I, and hopefully this will be some help for us. It helps me, and hopefully it'll help you. The very first point is an unexpected visitation. An unexpected visitation. As I said, the Jews would look, they were looking for a Messiah. They didn't know when, and probably, I think every woman or every mother that had a daughter was hoping that her daughter would be the mother of the Messiah, or every mother that had a son was hoping that their son would be the they didn't probably know how the birth was going to take place, would be the father of the Messiah. And but we see this Mary and Mary's, and they probably thought that a king, a savior, was going to come through a prominent royal line that they could see, a visible line that they could see, some kind of spectacular event. And here was Mary, this poor woman. She was faithful. She was believing in God, trusting God. Joseph, a carpenter, man, that's what he did in this poor town that they lived in. Here she was visited by an angel to be part of God's eternal purpose. Came and told her what was going to happen. You imagine that? No wonder it wasn't really unbelief for her on what that God could do it. It was just how was where she got hung up. Well, listen, we're called to be a part of God's plan too. Amen. We are called, we're the church. We're the church. This is it, man. We're called to be part of God's plan to carry the good news of the gospel from the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're part of that plan to carry that gospel to the world out here that doesn't know. We're called it. But she didn't expect it. She wasn't expecting that. She wasn't expecting God to send an angel to tell her specifically. But we've got God's complete word. Here we have it. She didn't have it. We got it. Pentecost has taken place. The Holy Spirit's been given. And everybody that's truly saved has the Holy Spirit, which is God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit dwelling in us. We've got God dwelling in us. We should expect an encounter with God. Huh? We should. Huh? Listen, we come in, and it doesn't, you think, well, everything's going to happen in church. Not necessarily. They weren't at the synagogue when that happened. They was at home. Everything, like, we ought to have an expectation that God would meet with us this morning. I believe that. We should have that expectation. Be excited about the things of God. Say, listen, that somebody's going to open up the Word of God. We're going to preach a message out of the Word of God. That something that's been prayed over and prayed about and led, a leading there. And we've got the Word of God that God would speak to each and every one of us. That should be expected. Well, we always expect God to speak to somebody else because we know they need talking to. Right? Yeah, that George, man. But we don't think about, hey, listen, God is speaking to me. Yes. Right? And but listen, what about every day? Amen. What about tomorrow morning? What about tomorrow night? What about tomorrow at midday? It could be, listen, God will speak to you and does. Yes. Every day. God, his people, his children. How many of you speak to your children every day? Amen. I know sometimes you don't feel like it. Or what you got to say, right? But we speak to God speaks to his children, right? We should expect it. Listen, we should expect God's intervention and appearance in our life, our circumstances, our situation. Why wouldn't we expect that? Why wouldn't God do that? If God loves us, right? God is love. He loves us, right? We can expect God's intervention in everything about our life. Listen, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God could change your life forever. Amen. Huh? I remember the day I got saved. I mean, I didn't get up that morning thinking, hey, today's the day. You know, that night that somebody was going to come on Thursday evening. You know what my plan was? Oh, this was really important. It's a wonder I even got saved. It's a wonder I didn't tell them to take a hike. I had to mow the grass. Matter of fact, I was halfway done. I was mowing the grass. I had a big old yard. I had to mow with a push mower. We were so poor, it's a wonder it had a motor on it. It's a wonder we didn't have one of them old reel mowers. You know, if you could have found one, I wouldn't have had to put gas in it. Had a big old yard and a little lawnmower, and on top of that, it was a small one. I did a lot of back and forth, man. So I started before supper, and then the pastor and they came to my house. And I wasn't thinking when I went out there, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to mow the grass. Now, I was glad to see him. I let him in. We got talking, and guess what? I got led to the Lord. Amen. But I had a plan. I had something to do. I was busy. And Lord knows that was 1987. Lord knows if I hadn't got that grass mowed back then in 1987, boy, what a difference it would have made today. Right. I mean, just, you know, what difference would it have made today? But you know how things in our life get to be so important to us at the time? Things that don't have anything to do with God. And the things that have something to do with God, we're so quick to put them on the back burner. So quick to put something in front of it, like, because it's so important that I get that grass mowed. Huh? And it isn't going to make a hoot in Hades when we stand before God one day. It's not going to make any difference. So it was unexpected. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, just like that,
I got saved just like that. It changed my life forever. I didn't have this plan. Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live a wild, crazy life till I'm 29 years old, and I was doing boiler work. I was a boiler maker. I'm a boiler maker, and I'm going to be doing that and for the rest of my life. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to get saved, and I'm going to be a pastor of a church. No, that wasn't in my folder on what I thought I was going to be doing in my life. God changed my life in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I don't care what your problem is. It don't matter what your problem is. God can change your life just like that. He's greater than any problem you have. He's greater than any situation, any circumstance. I don't care how far down a road you've gone. Just like, it's nothing. It's nothing. God can change your life. This divine, unexpected visitation resulted in the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Woo! Huh? She didn't have no idea. Listen, we can go down through the Bible. An unexpected visitation turned Moses into the deliverer of Israel. An unexpected divine intervention turned Isaiah into a man of unclean lips and to a mighty prophet. A divine, unexpected visitation took place on the day of Pentecost and empowered the church, turned Peter into a preacher, a bold preacher, a man that would deny the Lord three times just because of a little maid's accusation. Turned him into a bold preacher, and he didn't care what anybody said. He preached the word of God. Man, just like that. An unexpected visitation from God can give you a desire to walk with God. He can give you a heart of humility, give you a heart of gratitude, give you a willingness to submit to God, just like that. God can do it. Listen, Mary wasn't surprised that a Messiah was going to come, and she wasn't really all that necessarily surprised now that it was going to be her. She asked, well, how can it be? Because the normal way that it takes place isn't going to happen. That's the only question she had about it. She didn't doubt God anyway. She goes, how's it going to be? So she had an unexpected visitation. And then she had the next thing, an unimaginable revelation. She got this salutation from an angel in verse 28. And it said, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That word favor there is where we get our word grace. You have to break it down a few ways, but long story short, it's where we get our word grace, the unmerited favor from God. She was the recipient of God's grace. What an honor. It's always a blessing to be the recipient of God's grace. Amen. Amen. Told that she would bear a son, even told what his name would be. Mom and dad sit around trying to figure out, get the baby name book out and sit around and argue about this one and that one and the other one. No worries here. He's going to be born. His name will be Jesus. Yep, settled that. Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means. Which shows the deity of Christ. God in the flesh. Huh? God in the flesh. Boy, everything all wrapped up right here. What was going on in her mind and Joseph's mind? Man, imagine all that. The Hebrew thought of a son was, their definition would have been, a carbon copy of the father. A carbon copy of the father. That's what it would have been. Well, actually, Jesus was more than a carbon copy of the father. He was the father in all three in one, but he had them there, the same thing. And all of this was planned by God before the foundation of the world. He was going to be a king. He was going to sit on David's throne. That won't take place. That won't take place till the millennial period. He'll be on. The world hadn't accepted him as a king. Joy to the world's not for today. It's for the millennial reign. There's individuals that have, but not the world. Not the world. But he's going to be a king. He is a king. What do you do when the word of God troubles you? What do you do when have you ever been like reading the Bible or sitting in a preaching service somewhere? And boy, God just speaks to you. Now, you can do a few things. How about doubt? No, that isn't really what God wants me to do. How about deny? You know, nah. Or even deny wanting to do it. Or deflect it. Put it off to another. Well, I'll worry about that later on. Not right now. Down the road. People do that with salvation all the time. I'm not going to get saved today. I'll get saved when I get older. How do you know you're going to get older? Huh? How do you know? We used to preach to the kids at Bible camp. Ain't that right, Abigail? Remember all them preachings at Bible camp? I used to tell this story one time. Of course, I got a famous name. There was a boy named James Brown at Bible camp. Wow, I feel good. And James Brown sat in there one year, and every year, you know, the kids, we'd see the same kids every year at Bible camp. I've told this before here. And they'd sit in the chairs out there, and one year we left Bible camp, and the next year we come back. Guess what? This was just a teenage boy, about the age of some of you guys. They were sitting there on that chair. James Brown got killed on 460 out here before the next Bible camp came around. Teenager, he was gone. Now, I don't know if James was saved or not, but just supposing that God had spoke to him in one of them meetings. Suppose God had spoke to him in one of them meetings, and he said, well, you know, I'll get saved when I get back to church, or I'll get saved next year. I don't want to get saved now. I'm going to get saved at another time. We don't have a guarantee for tomorrow. We don't have a guarantee for tomorrow, man. Today's the day of salvation. The Bible tells us that, but James didn't make it back, and there'd been other ones as well. Had one girl that was there, crazy way to go, but her and her mama was cleaning out a trailer, a trailer that had been abandoned for a little while they were going to live in. They were cleaning it out, and they get that, those when there's mice droppings and stuff in there, you can get something from that. Killed her. Teenage girl, yep, killed her. She was one of the ones from camp. No guarantees there. What do you do when God speaks to you somehow through the Word of God? What do you do with it? That's the thing. Mary accepted it, and then it came to the last point. Mary submitted to it, an unconditional submission. Imagine in that day, now listen, this was a different day we live in, that they were living in. Imagine having to face all the ridicule of pregnancy before marriage. See, there's no shame much attached to it really now. I mean, there's people, I've seen, there's been Christian families, daughter gets with child, and they call, have you heard the good news? Have you heard the good news? They wouldn't have done that in a million years in those days. It wasn't good news. Now, they're going to love the baby, we love the baby, yes. But we don't celebrate sin. She was going to have to face it, and ain't nobody going to believe her. Well, an angel appeared and said, I was going to be overcome by the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to have a child. Yeah. Huh? Who's going to believe it? So she's going to have to face the ridicule, the shame, and it was heavy. It would have been heavy in that day. It would have been a serious thing in that day. You would have got shunned probably in that day for that. Pregnancy before marriage. And then being pregnant and having to travel because of the census, which was part of God's plan to get them from where they were to get them to Bethlehem, because that's where they had to go, because that was the city where they needed to go to, Joseph's, I think, and they had to get back there for that. Go back to that, do that traveling on a old mule or whatever they rode on, donkey or something, and then your baby being born in a stall because there wasn't any room in the end. But Mary and Joseph, both of them, listen, Joseph had faith too. Joseph didn't leave her. An angel appeared to Joseph too and said, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. Said, what's happened? That child's of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that. He said, you know, you're going to have to trust and believe. And Joseph did. And man, so he had to go through ridicule too. People looking down on him for that. But you know what? They were just believing God and trusting God. Man, just think they went through that. Joseph had faith. Mary had faith. Both of them submitted to the will and the word of God. You know, God specializes in doing the impossible. Amen. David Gibbs got a good message on that. That God specializes on doing the impossible. And the Bible's full of people that submitted to God without really knowing the how part of it. Moses, boy, he went head-to-head with Pharaoh. Here was Moses going up against Pharaoh in a conflict of wills. And Pharaoh was the head of the most powerful nation in the world at the time and the most powerful army in the world at the time. And he goes up there with his rod and staff, you know, 80 years old, and he's going to go head-to-head with Pharaoh. He didn't know how. Hannah, she submitted her life and her child to God without knowing what. The what was going to happen. Joseph trusted God's plan, purpose, without questioning the circumstances, and he was in a lot of odd circumstances in his life for somebody that was God had a plan for, but he was in them. Pharaoh, Potiphar's wife and prison and all those things. Paul trusted God without knowing what the Lord wanted him to do. Mary knew in her heart that life is gained by losing it. That's what the Bible teaches, that our life we gain by losing our life and taking his life. She must have known that somehow in her mind. She knew those things. God's overcoming power would show up in her life. Mary prepared for a birth, and God was preparing her for a birth. And God is preparing us, or anybody that doesn't know him that's not saved, he's preparing you for a birth as well. The birth of his son in you. That's what he prepares our hearts for. And when that happens, the Bible calls it being born again. Huh? Being born again, boy, that's a new birth. A new birth that takes place in you. And Satan tried everything he could, as I said, to stop the birth of Christ. And guess what? Now he tries everything he can to stop the birth of Christ in you. There's where the battle is today. He'll try everything. Now listen, salvation. I had to speak to a bunch of people yesterday and informed that a lot of them probably were lost. And people get this, say, well, you know, I got baptized. Or, yeah, I remember I went to an altar one time and I asked Jesus to save me. I asked him, listen, salvation's not a one-time act. Amen. Salvation, I mean, that takes place. We call on the name of the Lord to be saved. We do. But I'm going to tell you something, what we don't do. When we get saved, the real thing, from that day on, it's a life of faith. Perfect? No. No, but it's a life of faith. It's not, we're not basing our salvation on a one-time event. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifetime event that takes place when we're saved. And too many people, and I think there's a lot of people that are lost, and there's a lot of people in hell today that just made a profession somewhere, but the life of Christ was not a reality in their life. The new birth had never taken place in their life. And that's what it is. It's the life of God in you. 1 John 5:12, great verse. He who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son of God hath not life. You've got to have the Son. You don't just get him for a minute and one little profession and no new birth. That's the reality. That's salvation. Satan will try to lie to you about that, try to prevent that. Is God unexpectedly visiting your heart? Unexpectedly. Revealing something to you even today. Are you ready to surrender to him? Oh, yeah. Come on up here, Paul. You ready to surrender to him? You ready to surrender to his will? Are you ready to surrender to his plan? God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. Listen, God's calling. God's speaking. He's still doing that. But who's listening? Who's listening? Who's going to respond to his plan? Amen. If God spoke to your heart today, listen. I pray he did. I hope it was an unexpected visitation by his word. Something just clicked in your heart and your mind that, you know what, I need to be saved. That's God speaking to you. I don't do it. I don't do it. Satan never tells you. And listen, Satan's never going to tell you that you're lost. He's always going to tell you that you're saved. It's an unexpected visit from God.